89.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. It's 7 minutes past the hour this morning. Today is Monday, so it's treasure hunt day. So I'm going to announce the treasure that you need to go and hunt for those who are hunters out there. First, you need to get our mobile app for you to be able to do this, okay? Now, today is the Super Falcons semi-final matchup at the current Women's Africa Cup of Nations. What you need to go and look for is for you to click on the picture of the Super Falcons. Look for the picture of the Super Falcons. Click it. Click on it. Whatever pops up, fill in your details, then submit. Be the first and the fastest to do this, and you could win 5,000 Naira. The picture of the Super Falcons. Best of luck to you. So today, we're discussing the Osun elections. If you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to watch online, is Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info 99.3 as well. We'd like to hear your thought. So the people of Osun have been commended for their resilience and commitment to a non-violent election. Let me repeat that, to a non-violent election. As INEC yesterday morning declared Senator Ademola Adeleke, the governorship candidate of the PDP, winner of the just-concluded gubernatorial election in the state. The returning officer, Professor Oluwatoyin Ogunipe, the Vice Chancellor of the University of Lagos, announced the result at the INEC office in Oshogbo, the state capital. The results showed that Adeleke, a former senator and younger brother to the state's first governor, Isiaka Adeleke, defeated Oyetola, polling 403,371 votes, while Governor Gboyega Oyetola polled 375,027 votes from 30 LGAs. Let me also say that to break it down, Adeleke of the PDP won 17 of the 30 LGAs in the state, APC won 13. PDP won in Ede South, Ifelodun, Ede North, Bolu Aduro, Egbedore, Odoti, Oshogbo, Ila, Takumosa West, Olorunda, Ilesha West, Obokun, Oriade, Rolu, Ife North, Irepodun, and Ejigbo. The APC won Borikpe, Ilesha East, Ayedire, Ife Dayo, Ife Central, Ayedade, Iwo, Olaoluwa, Isokon, Atakumosa East, Ife South, Ife Central, and Ife East. That's where the APC won their votes. On Beavers, which is a major determinant, INEC has been commended for an effective deployment of that machine. Because according to CSOs and election observers in general, they have said that that was very critical to the results that were witnessed. Now, according to data released after the poll, percentage turnout by registered voters was 42.37%, while percentage turnout by permanent voter cards collected was 54.48%. Which is remarkable. Now, despite the huge success recorded by INEC in deploying BVAS to reduce electoral malpractices, technology failed in a few polling units. Let me break this down for you. In polling unit 007, Olode Ward, Ifelodun Local Council, Ikiru, the voting exercise did not start until 11:45 in the morning when the machine was changed by INEC. The original BVAS deployed to the unit failed, and all efforts by INEC technicians to fix it failed as well. It had to be changed, and the change came around 11:45. Besides that, the average time election started in most of the polling units was about 9:30. Some even started as early as 8:30 in some of the local councils. I have the head of news, Cool FM, Wazobia FM, Nigeria Info FM, joining me right now in the studio. Ufoma Egbamuno, he's live here in the studio. Ufoma, morning to you.
Hi, Sheriff. Good morning. It's great to be here again. You always find a way to drag me here.
Ah, because you are in charge of news.
I don't understand.
And that's why you're
Sheriff
here.
Sheriff Fumilo.
What did you just say?
I'm trying to speak my Osun dialect.
You failed woefully. Okay, welcome, man.
Thank you.
Let's start with what worked and what didn't work. What worked for PDP? What didn't work for APC?
As simple as that question is, I would think that the answers are quite, are not so straightforward, to be honest. Let's start with the PDP.
Yeah.
The PDP and the candidate. Let's also be honest with ourselves. It's a combination of both factors. Yeah. It's a combination of, I heard a couple of, you know, callers who said, you know, if Adeleke actually contested on a smaller any party,
yeah,
you know, that he would have won. Maybe, yes, maybe, but the chances when you contest in a party that has spread across the length and breadth, every part of the state, you know, it gives you more chances, because again, elections, I would always say, are not just one on paper. You, apart from you, the candidate, you also need people, foot soldiers, to work for you. You need people in every local government. You need people in wards, you know, to preach your gospel. You need people to be able to stand up for you. You saw the pictures or the videos of a particular polling unit where elections had concluded.
Yeah.
The INEC official said they had issues with
the internet.
They could not transmit the results. And people stood in front of the car and said, you are going nowhere, you know, until you transmit this result. So you need that spread. And sadly, only the two big political parties, so to speak, the APC and the PDP, have this national spread across. In fact, up until 2014, 2015, it was only the PDP that had it. And that's why I usually say this. They kept boasting that they would rule for the next 60 years because they knew they had that. But coming back to your question, I think the honest truth was that the flag bearer was popular, even though he joined active politics in 2017. Mm-hmm. He comes from a history of a family that have been in active politics. Mm-hmm. I think his father was a senator or something sometime in the 70s. His elder brother who died was a governor of the state.
That's right.
And then senator, you know, so it's a family entrenched in politics and who know what needs to be done. So he's got that popularity, he's got a party, and then you could also argue that some people are still vexed from 4 years ago. If you believe word on the street, Adeleke actually won the election in 2018 before some allegations of abracadabra happened, you know, and then there was a rerun.
Right.
And then, of course, the omissionary factor came into play. So some people are still having those grievances from 4 years ago that you could argue played into his hands. And then again, you could talk about the internal wranglings in the APC itself, where the predecessor of Oyetola, you know, has not been in quote unquote talking terms, or in, you know, they've not been in great tandem, so to speak. You know, that some persons who ideally should have worked for the APC, we heard, either defected to the PDP or stayed in the APC and worked against the ABC. So I think all of this, you know, contributed to, let's not also forget that for some persons too, they are tired of the ruling party. Yeah. That could also be a factor.
Right, indeed. If you're joining us, you're welcome to the conversation. I'm going to have you in to join us so you can share your thought as well as to our conversation this morning. Now that we have looked at what may have worked and what may not have worked in favor or against these actors, let's talk about the issue of vote buying. It was still a big issue.
It will still be a big issue, Sharif. And the reason, in fact, it's going to get worse. Here's why it's going to get worse. We've been able to, you know, get one part right, which is employing technology and being able to use it effectively. Kudos to INEC. In fact, I remember some months ago when I appeared on the Morning Crossfire, you know, I was raving about the 2022 Electoral Act, and I said it is one of the best things to happen to Nigerian elections, because, you know, I followed through the process when civil society groups and the National Assembly were debating, you know, stuff from the Electoral Act. And I saw a few things there that, you know, would help in ensuring that our elections will get better. Now, one of the ways politicians used to change results before, is you go to the polling unit, you vote, they count the votes, you celebrate that you've won or your party has won or your candidate has won, you know, and then when they get to the collation center, they change allegedly the figures, you know, and then what you voted something else, and then the results
it's
come
another
out,
thing
you're
that's
seeing
coming
something
out.
Else. So right. that used to be the norm. But with the new Electoral Act, it means that elections will be transmitted electronically.
That's
so
right.
You vote in your polling unit, 70 people have been accredited, 70 people voted, your party got 50, the other party got 20. The person in charge of the elections in your polling unit sends that data straight up to the server. Right. What now happens is you cannot, if you make the mistake or if you make the mistake of trying to change it,
right.
It doesn't tally with what has already been sent.
Right.
So all those issues of snatching ballot boxes, if you snatch ballot box from Nazi tomorrow, you're on your own because anything you thumbprint will not work.
Right.
If you steal the Beaver's machine, you are still on your own because it's been programmed in such a way that
it can't be
tampered with or
right.
used elsewhere.
Right.
So that has solved to a large, or that will, so I would say that has solved because we've seen it. Yes, the Anambra election was a bit chaotic because as at then, the INEC officials probably had not understood how to deploy the technology. So it was a bit chaotic. But we saw a great improvement in the Ekiti election,
right.
and we're seeing it again over the weekend in Oshun. It means that to a large extent, all of those issues of rigging at coalition centers have been reduced to the barest minimum.
Right.
So obviously, politicians will devise new means of how to get. So now that they've realized that, oh, maybe, just maybe, we'll not be able to do what we used to do before, which
right.
is steal ballot boxes, rig elections in go to different houses and thumbprint wherever.
Right.
Now that they can't do that, they know that votes count. Mm. They know that it's people's votes that will count at the end of the day.
Mm.
They also know that a lot of Nigerians live below the poverty line.
Right.
So they can induce
with money. Right.
You know, we had talks, you know, yesterday or the day before yesterday about money is as much as 10,000 per voter in some polling units. In fact, some allegations even suggested that, you know, he went as much as 20,000 naira per person, you know, just to influence people's vote. Some persons collected monies allegedly and still voted their choices.
You know, I was going to ask you that, like, how do we stop money politics? Like, is it in the hands of the authorities or in the hands of the electorate? Like you have said, that people, some collected the money and still voted. I mean, I saw the video of some ladies saying that, oh, want to work war, something like that. Like, they collected the money, but they still voted their own choice of the candidate that they wanted to vote for.
Yeah.
Now, is that the way to go to stop money politics, or the authorities need to do so? Because it's looking like, if you ask the politicians, they will tell you, collect their money and vote your conscience. It's almost like that's, we are defeated. Like, we can't solve that problem.
Unfortunately, Sheriff, I don't think you can stop it. The arrests were made. You know, it was
yes.
the news this morning.
Yes.
Arrests were made.
Yes.
But that's like an insignificant number compared to, and let's also be clear here, this vote buying was allegedly done by the two dominant parties. So it's not even a question of, oh, the ruling party
yeah.
did it and
yeah.
the opposition did not do it. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. There were allegations that both parties actually, you know, carried out this.
Right.
Which is why, you know, it is also another quote-unquote structure that you also hear these big parties mention, because they've got the wealth. The politicians have got the money to be able to do this.
Hmm.
But Sheriff, there's
shouldn't we criminalize it, though? Because it's
criminal already.
It's criminal. Yes,
it's
yes,
criminal
yes,
already.
Yes, it is.
Both you, the receiver,
yeah.
and the giver, it's actually criminal. But again, it comes back to the Nigerian problem, which has to do with systems. Our systems, our institutions are very, very weak.
Hmm.
You know, believe it or not, the three persons supposedly arrested, well, the news might just end there. After a while, they get the bail, you know, they get bail, and that's about it. Nothing really happens. So if we have, sadly, you know, we always promote the individuals, we always promote supermans or superwomen's, you know, ahead of institution. I'll just take a bit of a detour. In the United States of America, President Trump came into the saddle, I think in 2016, you know, he was, to some extent, he was a good president, but to another extent too, he was quite terrible. You know, he wanted to change things that ideally he didn't have the powers to do. Well, the system fought him, you know, and that's why 4 years later, irrespective of some of the good things he's done, you know, that tendency to want to go into some form of fascism or dictatorial tendencies, the system fought him, and that's why the Americans have a new president. Biden, if he's not doing well in 2024, you know, the system will find a way and get him out. I think that's where Nigeria should be aiming at, where systems would work. But sadly, as it is right now, there's absolutely nothing. Because these politicians, they have the money, Sheriff. Mm. They do have the money. Mm. They know people are poor. As myself and Weyuma, just before we started, I was talking about how very rich I actually am, you know. As a day like this, so money plenty for my life. that's me.
Yeah.
A supposed middle class, middle working class person. Imagine the man in the village who doesn't have work, who maybe is farming and cattle have destroyed his crops, you know, so there's really nothing for him to feed the family, and you offer the person 20,000 naira. I'm sorry, we can postulate all we want, but it's going to be difficult for people like that to actually reject these monies.
Indeed, it will be. Let's take some reactions very quickly now. We'll take some. Then we'll go out, take a break, then come back and hear more from you. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Let's see if we can speak to this individual for like 45 seconds. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, please. Morning to you.
This is Pastor Ladipo.
Welcome, Pastor Ladipo. Welcome.
Sorry, I'm not precise. Now, my take is this. We have conquered one section. I think we need more advocacy on this area of vote buying, more sensitization. I think that is what we need. Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you to you for calling me. Appreciate it. I really do. All right. Now, let's quickly take this break. Then when we return, we'll talk some more. Stay here on Nigeria Info 99.3. I mean, I love the way he was very brief about it. I'll be right back. Stay with us.
Let's talk. Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 8:29, going on half past the hour in a matter of 3 seconds. But before we get on to get back to the conversation on Osun election, you know, before, during the newspaper's headlines, we're talking about voter registration and everything. So Wemimo has supplied me some information that you need to know about that. Because when she walked in, I had to quickly, you know, ask her to help me do some digging. And she's done it. So what you need to do now, if you're wondering where you can register, is try and follow INEC Lagos on their social media platforms. All the information you need, you'll get them on their social media platform. Instagram is at INEC Lagos. Twitter is at INEC Lagos. Facebook is INEC Lag. INEC Lagos HQ. Yeah, that's Facebook. If you go on these platforms, you see your area and the registration points for your area. You will see, and as a matter of fact, when we're having that conversation this morning, INEC also called in. They called us to give us these information as well. So I want to say thanks to INEC Lagos for hearing, you know, the plight of the people and responding very swiftly as well. Thank you to you guys for responding. We really, really appreciate the fact that, you know, we make calls here on Nigeria Info and we get swift response from the authorities. So so again, INEC said that you can go to their social media platforms. Instagram is INEC Lagos. Twitter is INEC Lagos. Facebook is INEC Lagos HQ. That's where you get all the information that you need. You can also visit INEC's official website to get the schedule of the rotation for the registration. I have the schedule here, but trust me, I can't go into it. It will be a detour from what we're talking about this morning. So please take action now that you have that information, okay? It's been extended by 2 weeks. I think we are into the first week now. I think so. Eh? Is it, are we up? Is it, is first week up?
The registration.
It's ending July 31.
July 31, is it 30? I'm not sure again. Okay. But end of the month.
End of the month. All right. So you've got that time. You've got that grace to go and get yourself registered. All right. Okay. Now let's get back to our conversation on Osun election. Ufuoma Egbamuno is head of news, Nigeria Info. I'm not going to mention the other station.
Let's stretch and man, catch you.
All right. Ufuoma, thank you again for taking time out.
Thank you for having me and not allowing me to eat my breakfast.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
It's all good.
Let's talk about the internal wrangling of the APC as possibly one of the major factors that led to their downfall in Osun State.
Yes, it is. You cannot argue that to a large extent, from the get-go, Regbesola did not want Oyetola, you know, who was his chief of staff, to become, you know, his successor. That's 4 years ago. But somehow the APC national leader, who reportedly, you know, is a cousin to the governor, actually, quote unquote, foisted the governor on the party. There was a bit of, there are some cracks back then, but somehow they found ways to resolve the issues, you know, and they ended up winning the elections 4 years ago. But fast forward 4 years after, the crisis had deepened. And of course, Aregbesola actually had his own candidate, you know. Unfortunately for him, his candidate lost the primaries. That's, and of course, the governor won that primaries. But somehow they were not able to resolve the aftermath of that crisis. It even, you know, showcased in the build-up to the presidential primaries of the APC. But you know, when you don't put your house in order, that's exactly what's going to happen. There are reports of certain aides or certain followers of the minister, you know, who defected to the PDP. Some did not actually defect, they stayed in the party, but you could argue some reports suggested they served as spies, you know,
and they worked against the
and
party.
They worked against the party, they voted and worked against the party. So maybe let's just, for example, say I'm one of those aides, I'll vote against the party and then also tell people that are close to me who I can influence to actually vote against the party. And in elections like state elections, every vote count. Look at the difference. The difference is about 28,000 or thereabout. Majorly, also because there were some local governments where the APC had won 4 years ago, but they lost them spectacularly this time around. Oshogbo, a very good example, the state capital, you know, it's, you know, I also saw reports, you know, where some persons, in fact, there was an APC politician who actually put up on social media that for all of his years voting, you know, he had never lost his ward, his polling unit, but he lost his polling unit, you know, in the election.
For 24 years.
Exactly. So all of these changes, even areas where the margins were not so much, you know, where they ran neck and neck, you will still see, you know, the APC winning with maybe 1,000 plus votes or 2,000 votes. Areas where the vote margin was quite high the last time around. So all in all, yes, and then again, you saw videos of the Minister of Interior, Aregbesola, the person we're talking about, the former governor, who was not even present, you know, in the state during elections.
He wasn't in the country.
He wasn't even in the country. Right. You know, I think it was somewhere in the U.S. At the end of the day, if he was around, his presence to a large extent would have contributed if he had worked for...
He wanted to pass a message.
Obviously. And the message is loud and clear. Remember that in the early hours of yesterday, he posted on his two verified handles, you know, some biblical verse which looked like he was mocking the APC. And then hours later, it was deleted. And, you know, we were told that it was posted in error, or that it was an aide, you know, who still had access to the post, you know, that posted it. Personally, this is me speaking, Ufo Megbamanu, I don't believe that. I just think that was damage control.
Do you think this could backfire
for
Arebweshola?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know, I don't think so. These politicians always find ways to survive. They find ways to make up, you know, and sort themselves out. While you and I are busy fighting over each other on social media, they are in closed-door meetings at 2 a.m. in the morning solving their issues. Some have also suggested that this could be a warning signal to the APC's presidential flag bearer, Bola Ahmed Tinubu. I don't totally agree. In fact, as early as 6 a.m. yesterday, I posted out on social media. The honest truth is that a lot of the persons who voted for the PDP and Adeleke in Saturday's election will turn around in February 2023 and vote for Bola Ahmed Tinubu.
Why?
Because to a large extent, like I've argued several times, next year's elections will be determined by a lot of ethnic sentiments, by a lot of tribal sentiments, and by also by it will also be a referendum on the party in power, and then also about the individuals involved.
So we're going to stay there because it's part of our areas of coverage this morning about, you know, what Anambra, Ekiti, and Osun elections would mean for 2023 elections. Let's take the last election, Osun, as a case study. It appeared, and you have alluded to it, that perhaps people voted the person of Adeleke and the family or something, you know, as against the popular APC, PDP rivalry and the rest of them. It appears as though people had accepted him, you know, way in 2018, way back as far as 2018, you know, before even now. So they followed him through, you know, to 20.
Well, like, let's reclaim our mandate.
Yeah. 2020. Don't you think that's the pattern the 2023 election would go, where people would vote persons, not party?
People have been voting persons, not party. Here's the honest truth, Sheriff. It's going to be a combination of all factors. It's not going to be just one.
Okay.
Some people will vote personalities. So let's say in the presidential election, for example, next year, you could argue four leading candidates. Some people will vote. Some persons are telling you point blank that I'm a PDP member, I'm an APC member, but you see the presidential election, I'm voting Peter Obi. That's for people who vote based on persons. Some people will vote based on, I don't want another northerner. Tribal sentiments. I don't want another northerner. We've gotten 7 years. By February next year, it will be almost 8 years of a northern president. Let power come to the south. There are some persons who vote on that. Some people tell you that even in the south, I don't want a Yoruba man. Some people tell you that, even in the south, I don't want an Igbo man. Those are sentiments, you know, that would affect the election. Even in the north, you know, we've talked about the whole of last week, you know, last 2 weeks, the conversations have been around Muslim candidate, you know, religion and all of that. If you like, think it's not important. For 1,001 people in Nigeria, religious bias is very important. You know, there's been this accusation or this allegation in the last 7.5 years that the president has tacitly supported a particular faith. You heard some of the callers this morning. I've been listening to the show since 5 a.m.
Right.
Some have suggested, you know, when the news of the bandit, some called and told you that, oh, see how the army have been dealing with issues in the southeast when it comes to IPOB.
Right.
But the army did not do anything when it was even in the news that
they were going to have
that turbaning out there in Zamfara. Some persons look at that from a religious angle and they say, you know what, maybe this is happening because we have someone who is tacitly supporting these guys, and because of that we don't want another Fulani or we don't want another Muslim as president. So all of these religious tribal sentiments will come into play. It depends on wherever you are on the divide. Now, coming back to the Osun election, the reason I said that some persons, or a lot of persons, in fact, I actually put a percentage to it on my Twitter handle. We generated a lot of controversy. By the way, that's how I put a percentage to a question to somebody, say, 6 years ago. And it caused a huge problem. But back to my point, a lot of the persons in Osun State who voted Adeleke and PDP over the weekend will choose tribal and ethnic sentiments when it comes to February's election. They will tell you point. In fact, there are videos, you know, out there on social media where persons in Osun State told you, you know what, this governor on is Adeleke and PDP are voting, you know, but next year is Tinubu that we know. And they will do those votes based on the fact that they believe our local.
Once it's a presidency, it shifts from party lines.
Exactly. Some persons will do that based on party lines. Some people vote based on party lines. Some people here, let me even give you an example. Here in Lagos, if you go to the Alabarago, Alaba International, Festac, Agboju, Okoko, Ojo Axis, there are a lot of southerners over there who are from the Igbo-speaking part of the country. They usually influence elections in those areas. That's why you most sometimes have an Igbo-speaking person winning a federal election in Lagos. And you ask yourself, how did that happen? It's simple. Ethnic and tribal sentiment. And that's why you've also noticed one of the ways the ruling party in Lagos State usually employs is to find ways to allegedly disrupt elections in those areas, because they know that people in those areas usually do not vote for the ruling party. That's talking about the APC or whatever colorations they had before. So the tactics they usually employ is to allegedly disrupt elections there, because they don't want because they know that people over there will not vote for them. Now, you're not going to blame these persons. They have their reasons, you know, why they've chosen those areas.
Right.
Sheriff, all of these sentiments will come into play. The most likely Northern Christians, a large percentage of Northern Christians, I believe, in February next year, will not vote for the APC because they don't want a Muslim ticket. They will most likely not also vote for the PDP because they don't want another Northerner or Fulani. Those persons, I think, would most likely vote a Peter Obi because they will feel more comfortable with his candidacy as opposed to the APC because of the Muslim ticket and the PDP because of tribe. You're not going to kill these people.
So not one factor can determine the voting pattern.
Not one. It's a combination of different factors. You have your biases. I have mine. I have my sentiments. You can't rule away all of these conditions.
Right. Indeed, indeed. We're going to go to the telephone, take a few calls, hear from you before we get back to our conversation. Ufoma, I'd like to quickly speak to you about Beavers and the future of elections. If we continue this trajectory, I'm talking about INEC now, this trajectory, much later on. But let's take some calls in first. Good morning to you. Morning.
Hello?
Okay, this person is really not ready. Let me talk to another person. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Morning.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, please.
My name is Abiodun.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you to your guest. He's doing justice to the issue on ground. But I think one major factor that played out, just like you rightly said, is the conflict in APC. If Aregbesola had teamed up with the present governor, I'm sure that PDP wouldn't have had a chance. Then secondly,
right,
I think INEC has stepped up their game. We should encourage them. With what we are seeing, if this improvement we are seeing goes into the general election, you know, to give us a lot of credibility. So kudos to INEC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Biodo.
Sheriff, just to touch up on that, INEC has done a brilliant job. You mentioned at the early part of the show, you know, where you said if it was wrong now, we would all be criticizing INEC. But it's good now. We're not saying...
Nope. I mean, not many people. It's true.
Exactly.
Most people are not even talking about it.
I totally agree with you. We have to start from the very beginning, which is the late President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua. Remember the election that brought him into power in 2007?
Right.
Was flawed.
And he acknowledged it.
And he acknowledged it and said, you know what? I'm going to... make reforms. He started that reform. Sadly, he died. Goodluck Jonathan continued from where he stopped, you know, and that's why we had some measure of progress. You could also accuse the president of sort of delaying it a bit, you know, because these Electoral Act possibly should have been signed
before
the 2019 elections,
right.
You know, but for whatever reasons, I know the reason it wasn't signed, but I don't have facts to back them, so I wouldn't, you know, put that out on air. But, you know, for whatever reason, it wasn't signed back in 2018, and then, you know, we've had it now. So it's a combination of processes started from 2007, 2011 under Jonathan, you know, and of course, kudos to the president for, you know, because if he had not signed it, I'm not sure the National Assembly would have the wherewithal to actually override his assent. But he did, and he's consistently said that he wants to leave a legacy of credible elections.
Yeah.
See, if Buhari, I have a whole lot to criticize the president for, and I've been doing that, even though I supported him in 2015. But if there's one thing I believe the president has done, which is great, which he should get commendation for, is to ensure that there's credible elections. See, he had a candidate for the APC primaries. Allegedly, he did not want Bola Ahmed Tinubu. He even said it a few days to the primaries that give me
him.
The chance to announce
my successor.
Somehow, a few persons in the party fought against it, and the man just said, you know what, okay, all of you, go ahead and do what you want to do. And that's what produced... if the president had put his foot on the ground, you know, the way an Obasanjo did, for example, you know, there's a likelihood Bola Ahmed Tinubu would not have been the APC candidate. But he let everybody have their way. Remember, he said in his statement, I allow you guys to choose your successor.
Yes.
I don't influence it. And that's exactly what he wants to do in 2023. Something tells me he's not even going to campaign for anybody. If you want to win, you have to go to the field and work and prove that you are electable. And I think that's really commendable.
Indeed. Let's see if Muluwa Nishala is still on the line. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for holding the line.
Thank you. My contribution is on the how we can stop a vote buy. You know, in Osun, EFCC arrested some people.
That's right.
Same this one, and police arrested too. We must ask police and EFCC to bring out those people they were arrested. We must call on them now to take them up, so that we can have we can stop this. You remember the vote buying has been in long. In 1999 election, the politician will give the king about money. The high people, they will give them money. That collapsed Savannah Bank. Same thing in 2003, the vote buying changed to the INEC official, they gave them money to read for them. Now it's turned to the people. That is why they are buying, the INEC official cannot read for them. They are buying people.
Thank you.
They are taking it. If we fail to stop this,
right,
it's going to affect us. It's
very
going
true.
To affect the economy.
Very
that is
true.
Why when they get inside,
they try to get their money back.
Say, if the vehiculizer you are getting before, you have to get another one. So that you can pay money. It's
Thank
affecting
you.
Us. We must stop it.
Thank you, ma. Thank you for calling me. Appreciate it. But before we get on, Feta is here, and Feta has some information for us very quickly. Feta, hi. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I have very great news, like he said. And I'm here to tell you that if you keep asking the right questions, you definitely get answers. Yeah. So you see that question you're always asking about, why do I have to pay fees for local transfers? Why spend money to send money? Why do I have to pay full price for airtime when I can get it at a discounted rate? I'm here to tell you that Cheaper has the answer for that question. As a matter of fact, if you buy an item, you can even get a whopping 5% cash back on that same item when you shop with your Cheaper card locally and across borders. Now, Cheaper is spelled CHIPPER. And yes, it's an app, very available on App Store and Play Store. So go ahead and download Cheaper and even enjoy no fees on local transfers. In fact, you even get 2% discount on airtime and 5% cash back when you shop your cheaper Naira or USD card.
Thank you, Feta, for that information. Let me continue very quickly now. Do you have anything to tell us? That's all? That's everything?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I want her to give you money.
Why must it be about money?
Feta has money.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that.
Well, I'm telling you.
Talking about who has money, your name is Ofor Mbang. You're the one that has 5,000 Naira. From us this morning, you've won yourself the treasure hunt on the Morning Crossfire. Congratulations to you. You got 5K for yourself. Ufoma, let's talk. Finally, what would you say is a takeaway from the off-cycle elections? Or what are the takeaways of the off-cycle elections?
The fact that votes now count and that rigging has been reduced to the barest minimum, at least at coalition centers. You honestly, again, I want to emphasize this. The fact that the opposition won in the in Osun State is not, you know, the reason we will now say votes count. The opposition did not have the power in Ekiti State to win,
right,
because the PDP were split. Remember, their one of their party members and former governor,
yeah,
Segun Oni,
yeah,
left the party to, yeah, join the SDP.
That's right.
That's what paralyzed, that's right, the PDP over there.
That's right.
APC won the election fair and square in Ekiti. It also meant votes count, irrespective of allegations of vote buying too over there. I just wanted to, you know, make that clear. But for me, the great news is that at least from the Ekiti and Osun elections, people have now realized that if you vote 10 persons, it's 10 persons that will count. The only way the politicians now have, you know, is to induce voters by buying.
Right.
But, you know, that would inspire confidence in a lot of persons. It means a lot of persons from yesterday or from today would want to go to the INEC centers if they don't have PVCs to,
right,
go and get their PVCs.
Right.
It means more people will get into performing their civic right, because it's actually a right, you,
that's
know,
right,
for you to go out and vote.
That's,
now,
right,
what this also would translate is that the politicians will know that if they don't do well, they will get kicked out.
Ufoma, well said. Thank you so much for coming on the Crossfire today. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.